Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from Sacramento, California.
Woke up quick at about noon.
Featuring Damian Barling.
Yes, I absolutely still love Russell Westbrook.
So what?
And Kenny Caraway.
Sometimes you really just vibing out.
This is D-Lo and KC.
I'm the street's voice out west. Legendary self-made progress. Last time that I checked.
On ESPN 1320.
For the first time in like 3 months, 4 months, I forgot to put my necklace on.
Oh, I'm about to say, what's going on?
Oh, man. My day is shot.
How'd it come off?
I went shower. The only place I don't wear it in is in the shower. And I took it off. I set it where I always set it, and I guess I just forgot to put it back on, and now I think my day is ruined.
We got to pick you up, man. We got to pick you up, man.
Man.
We got to pick you up. We got you. Oh, we got man. You.
Welcome in to a very traumatic Wednesday, January 25th edition of D'Lo and KC. I'm Damian Barling.
Acknowledge me!
He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
We're so happy that you're here with us on this game day. The Sacramento Kings look to make it two in a row as they take on the Toronto Raptors tonight at the Golden 1 Center. Final time at the Golden 1 Center for a while.
Yeah.
Next time we'll see them February 10th against the Dallas Mavericks. Then we'll see them February 11th against the Dallas Mavericks. And then I don't think we see them again for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I believe it's three games.
Three games in February. It's Man. The 10th, 11th, and I think 25th.
It was 20 something sounded right. Yeah, tough.
But we will see the Kings after the Mavericks game. They got road games, and then obviously we'll see them, some of them, at the All-Star weekend.
I think there's going to be a lot of representation from the Sacramento Kings at the All-Star game.
I mean, think so too.
Between Domas and De'Aaron being All-Stars. Saw that our MC, Scott Fresh, was going
to
be out
big
there.
Ups to him.
Eight-time All-Star, Scott Fresh. And then the three-point shootout.
It seems like Herter wants to do it. Matt Barnes is in people's ears because Matt Barnes gets things done. So, you know, I don't see why not. Matter of fact, they need to do something to make up for the fact that you won't see the Kings on national TV for much of the rest of the season. You better put them on. Keegan Murray being rookie sophomore game.
At this point, you could have Kevin Herter versus Keegan Murray versus Harrison Barnes in the three-point contest. You could do that. Put Malik in the dunk contest
just
for fun.
Put him in the dunk contest. He still got bounce. But I remember when he was at Kentucky. That boy had stupid bounce.
Yeah, your guy could get up. That's a great point. I'll love listening to the announcers who – do you think they've watched the Sacramento Kings at this point outside of that game versus Brooklyn, trying to explain why this team and, you know, knock on wood, three-ish weeks from now, that team is still 3-4 in the Western Conference, and you got to explain to them why a large portion of the audience hasn't seen them? Because you just had to get another Nuggets-Suns game that turned to be a 30-point blowout on ESPN because they're – they're exceeding expectations. We talked about this yesterday, 33 and a half. You're going to have to explain to everybody how Mike Brown is a candidate for Coach of the Year, how the newly extended Monty McNair is a candidate for Executive of the Year, how you have two All-Stars, how you have guys represented in every aspect of All-Star weekend this weekend. It's going to be interesting hearing guys stumble over themselves and probably talk uneducated on this basketball team.
And, you know, got to tip my hat to this guy. He's not always right, but he was the one that said it after the Brooklyn game. Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley, at that moment, was like, hey, man, let's take all these sorry Laker games and replace them with Kings games.
Let's do that.
He said, I don't want to see them no more. Kings are exciting.
Think how exciting some of these Kings games have been over this stretch. But no, got to make sure the Pelicans and Thunder are on.
Oh, jeez.
Looks like Brandon Ingram's coming back tonight.
Memphis and Golden State. Like, yeah, I understand.
Oh, that's all right. That's fine. Yeah. I mean, you put that on just the probability of a fist fight breaking out.
Yeah.
You put that on.
The two most unlikable teams in basketball.
Yeah, I'm with that.
The Warriors are annoying. And the Grizzlies are super annoying.
The Grizzlies are awful, just frustratingly awful. They are just not awful as in a basketball team. They're just frustratingly awful to deal with. But that's not our problem. We got Kings basketball tonight at the G1C. Hopefully YouTube users aren't stuck watching a dog show tonight and they actually get to watch this game. Different Raptors team than the first time that they played. And you can probably make the argument this is a different Kings team since the first time that they played. But the story of today, and we'll dive into this game quite a bit. Our man Will Z is going to join us coming up in about 20 minutes to preview this game by the numbers as he does each and every single day or each and every single game. But the story still remains as we wrapped up yesterday's show. The news came in from Adrian Wojnarowski that Monty McNair has been signed to a contract extension. And it's interesting watching the stories coming out today, not necessarily about Monty, but you could search Bob Myers, who's on the last year of his deal. There's some big time stories out there regarding him. And this is an element that I don't want to say it was hanging over the Kings franchise, because we had talked a couple of days ago with Hammer, it was the last week, I think, how it feels like it's a no-brainer to extend Monty McNair, but a general manager, quote, playing out the final year of his contract isn't necessarily unheard of. Bob Myers being an example of someone who's going through it right now.
Yeah.
Toronto. Masai Ujiri.
Yeah.
He played out the last year of his contract. Again, not the most shining example, but it did happen. Mitch Kupchak, final year of his contract with Charlotte, and he wound up re-upping. So it wasn't necessarily unheard of, but it also had that spell of it's the Kings. And there was this, like, who was the last general manager that got a contract extension? Well, wait a minute. Did Vlade get one?
He did get one.
That's okay.
He did get one.
Who was the last general manager who justifiably got a contract extension?
Damn. Shots fired at Monty.
There wasn't a shot at Monty.
I mean, not my. I mean,
that was at Vlade.
I meant Vlade.
That was at Vlade and the people who extended him. But the fact that it feels like there's some stability around this organization now with Monty at the helm is a good thing. I think Kings fans can settle in and not be overly concerned about what happens the next 3 weeks, because if the deal hadn't been done with Monty, and there's a lot of belief that this would be the right call. If the Kings don't make a deal over the next 2 weeks or whatever, it's February 9th. Oh, you know, Monty doesn't have control. You know, you should have extended Monty first. That's why he didn't make a deal. They could have gotten Rui Hachimura, but they didn't do it. Now you eliminate all of that stuff, and the man can settle in here and do his work. This trade deadline and beyond.
As we talk about this, I'm thinking about different stuff. Let me ask you a question. Do you feel like this was always something that was more of an issue to the media and fans than it was the Kings organization? Everybody involved, the ownership, Monty McNair, Wes Wilcox, the players. Do you think they were like not really tripping about it?
Yeah.
I think so too.
Yeah. I think it was us, fans, conversation. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with that. It's part of what we do.
It's part of the job.
We had heard enough stuff. We had never heard anything definitive. We had heard enough stuff to where I think a lot of us were kind of, this is going to happen. Mm. And I think it's going to happen before the season's over. Mm. I think you're 100%. I absolutely think this was a conversation that was louder outside the walls of the Kings office.
And I'll go even further back, like the off season coming into the season. You think it was still like Monty and Wes? No, it'll get done. We feel good about what the team we put together. Mm-hmm. We think we'll be successful. I don't know if they expected it to be like this or not, but we'll be successful, and you know, things will get played out. Like, I feel like from all the things we heard, Monty McNair was a lot more stressed before the Sabonis trade last year than he was about getting a contract extension. You know what I mean? Like, some of the things, and I think, you know, these were, maybe off the record, no pun intended, conversations, but we were like, yo, the pressure's on. These guys in the building are stressed out about what they're going to do. This team is no good. They don't know if Fox works. Are they going to trade Fox? Are they, Halliburton is like, these guys are stressed. They feel like they have to do something, and there is pressure everywhere. And I don't feel like not having an extension gave them that same type of angst. I don't have an extension. Like, we'll see what happens.
I agree with you to an extent. I don't think they felt that way last year.
You don't think so?
No, I think, obviously, there's a certain level of stress that comes with being the general manager of a professional sports franchise.
Had to fire Luke Walton midseason.
Yeah, but it's also a thing where they knew what they were going to do there. Mm. In my opinion, this is my opinion. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. Is I think they knew what they were going to do there. They were going to give him an opportunity to play this out. They knew what last year was. Yeah. I'm not saying they went into it with the idea of a gap year. I don't think they went into it with the idea of not winning. I think they knew. Maybe to tie both of your scenarios together. I think they knew they had time to fix this. Hmm. Not that there wasn't a sense of urgency to fix this, mm-hmm. but they knew that if they made a deal at the deadline, they were like, I don't think Monty McNair got a contract extension based solely off of what we've seen through the first 46 games of the season. I don't think that's why he got the contract extension. Does it play a factor? Certainly, but it would have been impossible to like, look, this team has come together significantly faster than any of us could have imagined. Mm-hmm. They're 8 games over 500. Kevin Huerter just got here. Malik Monk just got here. Sabonis got here just a little bit earlier than they did, and it wound up not playing for a large chunk of the season. De'Aaron wound up not finishing last year's season. And, oh, by the way, Mike Brown and that entire coaching staff outside of Doug and Lindsey, they just got here. Mm-hmm. So to expect it all to be in place 45 games into the season.
It's crazy, right?
Right.
That's a lot.
And I don't think that was the expectation. Mm-hmm. It's a fun talking point saying, oh, he's being rewarded for all this. I think he had time to get this right, and I think he knew he had time to get this right. And pulling the trigger on a deal as big as the one involving Tyrese Halliburton and Domantas Sabonis, you've got to have – your head up and your chest out when you do that.
Absolutely.
You got to be full of confidence that what you're doing is right.
Absolutely.
And I think he was. Yeah. And the moves that he made in the offseason, from Keegan to Malik to Kevin Herter, all of that was just absolutely brilliantly done.
Hey, flowers need to be given. I'm giving them out when we come back. Flowers need to be given.
You must be giving them to Will Z because he joins us when we return here on Sacramento Sports Leader. We're just getting started. We're here with you in the next 4 hours. I mentioned Will Z. I didn't mention Joe Davidson. He's here. Crocky's here for the first time in a long time. James Hamm is here. Oh, man, we loaded. It's ESPN 1320.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
D'Lo and KC continues, streaming live on the Odyssey app.
Live on the Odyssey app. Make sure you download that app. We've got some brand new features coming to the Odyssey app that include exclusive audio. And the only way you could be a part of these Odyssey Go Live sessions are to download the app, download the Odyssey app, search ESPN 1320, and then there's a heart button where you save us as one of your favorite radio stations. That way, when you do that, you'll get push notifications. Hey, D-Lo's going live. KC's going live. D-Lo and KC are going live. They're talking about the Kings game. They're talking about the 49ers game. They're talking about the trade deadline. They're talking about WrestleMania, the Royal Rumble, or whatever it may be. We're going to launch that almost certainly on Saturday. Yeah. So make sure you download the Odyssey app. Make sure you search ESPN 1320 and make sure you save us as your favorite radio station. Just as Will Z has saved us as his favorite radio station. He previews each game by the numbers. You can head over to ESPN 1320's website and see what he had to write about the Kings and the Raptors tonight. Will, let's start with this. How different are these two teams since the first time we saw them play each other?
I mean, it just feels like the Kings are on just a bit of a roll since they played compared to the Raptors, who have kind of gone on the other side of things. So it just feels like the tides have kind of shifted. And as we get further into the season, things are kind of starting to shake out and we get a clearer picture as to kind of what long term the season is going to look like. And I think it just shows in the records with Toronto being 21-27 and the Kings being 27-19.
This is a team that I look at on paper. I look at the roster, and you wrote about it and kind of talked about it as well. It is a long team, right? Mm-hmm. They've got wide, wingspans on the wings outside of Van Fleet. But, you got guys like OG, who's questionable tonight. But you got Precious. You've got Scotty Barnes. Scotty Barnes. Pascal Siakam. I mean, these guys are lengthy on the wings. Is that something that you look at and you feel like may give the Kings problems on the offensive end? Or, in the first game, the offense was cooking, so maybe not. But, it seems like something that may be a concern coming into this game.
Yeah, and I think that the Raptors, they do such a good job of actually utilizing that length. So it's not like they just, you can just say like they have this kind of unique roster build. They use it to their advantage, very much so on the defensive end. So they lead the league in both deflections and steals. They're getting 18.5 deflections per game and 9.3 steals per game. So that allows them to kind of get out in transition. They love to get the points off turnovers. They lead the league there, and get out in transition and run. Kings are coming off the game in which they had 25 turnovers. So it's kind of the hot topic coming out of that against Memphis. But if you look at the last time the two teams matched up, the Kings had 15 turnovers. So last time they did a pretty good job of dealing with Toronto on in terms of taking care of the ball.
That's good.
So you and I think you laid it out a little bit right there, Will. Why will turnovers be such a big story in tonight's game?
I think that the main thing for me when I was writing it, and I get into it a little at the end, is the Kings have such a clear advantage in shooting. They have the better three-point shooting, two-point shooting, free throw shooting, pretty much everywhere across the board. The Kings theoretically should outshoot Toronto tonight. So to me, it comes down to how many shots are the Kings going to take against the Raptors. So if they can keep the ball and not turn it over, they should, if they can match the Raptors shot for shot, then with those percentages, they should have the advantage.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. This is where, this is a game, in my opinion, where the superpower comes into play. And it's just a situation where even though you're not the best defensively, can the Raptors get to 120, 125, possibly 130 with you? I'm not sure they can, and that speaks to Will Z's point. Hey, Will, I also want to ask you about the Kings rookie. You wrote a little bit about him and, you know, how he's been playing as of late and his shooting percentages and the way it seems like he's gotten his NBA legs under him, as we continue to say. And he's shooting the ball really well. He's playing really well. What did you see when you went into the numbers with Keegan Murray?
Yeah, I was trying to find kind of how far back it went. I know last time I was on Monday, I was talking about the last 10 games, but it goes back even further than that. So what surprised me and impressed me was just his consistency from three. He hasn't had back-to-back games where he shot under 35% from three since December 13th and 14th. In the 19 games since those, he shot 50% from three on 5.9 attempts. So he's just not having bad shooting nights. He doesn't have multiple bad shooting nights, which is different from what we've seen in Kings sharpshooters in the past. And it's just the consistency from a rookie to put up numbers like that, 50% over almost a 20-game stretch, is just so impressive.
112.6 points per game is how many Toronto averages right now. Interestingly enough, they're at a, I think it's a plus 0.2 is their differential. So it's like they're losing games at a razor thin margin. The Kings are averaging 120 points per game.
Where is 112? Where the players dwell, of course.
Of course, I mean, I was gonna like, how do you not know that 112 is where the players dwell? I can give you Eastern Conference wise. It's right. Well, that's not it. Let's try this again. I'm just a click away, Will. Just one click away from a stat. That's good for 10th in the East.
Okay. 23rd in the league.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Thanks for answering my question.
You're welcome. Kings are one.
They'd have won.
Another thing that I think the Kings could do is we talked about it with the Thunder. Thunder weren't a good rebounding team. The Raptors, they're a good offensive rebounding team, but they aren't a good defensive rebounding team. So where did it go? Pascal, he leads the team with 8.2 rebounds per game. So it's just a similar situation to seeing Josh Giddey leading the Thunder in rebounds. Like the Raptors don't have a big man that's going to go and grab all the boards. So that's another area. Damien, I know you were saying it yesterday, how the rebounds, when the Kings rebound well, they win. And I think that that's another thing that I'll be looking at tonight.
Any other notes that we really need to pay attention to tonight's? Well, any other stats we really need to keep an eye on? You really got me kind of locked in on the turnovers in the Kings protecting the basketball because of the steals and deflections that you mentioned, but the fact that they regularly turn those turnovers into points. Any other areas of concern Kings fans should be watching out for tonight against Toronto?
I mean, I touched on it a little, just the offensive rebounds. They really like to go after those offensive boards. But between those are kind of the two main things that stood out to me was the turnovers and offensive boards. So really, I think that that's kind of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's always more, but in terms of main things.
There are always more problems to be created once the game starts. We haven't got there. As everyone on Twitter pointed out, if you're going to shoot 92% from three in the first quarter, that's a good strategy.
That is a good look.
Yeah. It's a really good strategy if you can implement that.
I think Mike should tell them to do that.
Hey, guys, just go hit 10 straight threes, and we'll go from there.
Yep.
Just hit 10 in a row.
Yeah, let's just do it again.
Yeah.
Let's do it again. I think
– But with that said, like we said this all day yesterday, that you hit 10 straight threes, you're up by one.
Yeah.
That just felt so problematic to me.
Don't turn the ball. What was the last game? 27 turnovers?
I think it was 25 question
25,
mark.
Yeah.
I think it was 25. And it was like nine in the second quarter. Like they were they start feeling themselves offensively and everybody becomes Magic Johnson. Except they're not. Yeah, right. Like they're like, I'm gonna make a Magic Johnson pass. Oh, not Magic. Damn it. All right. Just keep it moving.
Take care of the basketball. That's they might have won by 50 on Monday.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't take care of the basketball, and they won by 33.
That's what I'm saying.
That's insane.
Won by 50.
Absolutely.
I still can't believe they won by that much. How fast it happened.
And that's the thing, too. Like, you know, Will, you look down at your notepad, you're taking your stats, I'm look over, putting together this graphic, and all of a sudden the 12-point lead is 33.
Mm-hmm.
And God bless Toronto, just still there at 96. Yeah. Memphis, excuse me, they stayed at 96 for a long time, man. Yeah. A long, long time. We'll be following you tonight, man. Appreciate you as always. And we'll be locked in to see what wonderful stats you've got for us this evening.
Appreciate you guys. Have a good one.
Take care, Will.
Check out the full preview by the numbers of the Sacramento Kings versus the Toronto Raptors over on ESPN 1320's
great work,
website.
Man. Always great work from Will Z, man.
Indeed.
It really is.
Do you want flowers for Will Z? You had flowers you wanted to give out.
Absolutely.
Flowers to me?
No, absolutely. Flowers for Will Z. Absolutely. Flowers for you. Much deserved. But that wasn't what I was talking about.
Oh.
Flowers need to be given to one Vivek Ranadive.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Vivek deserves his flowers.
Uncle V.
Uncle V deserves his flowers. And I'm just.
That's my bad.
Look, the same energy needs to be kept.
Mm.
This guy, I didn't say all this, so I can say whatever I want.
Mm-hmm,
I can say that Vivek isn't really doing that much, or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. He's not. You know, other people deserve that type of credit and praise. Before we get to Vivek or whatever. I can say that. Because I was also the one that said when things were going bad, well, there's a number of different factors why things are going bad. Yes, Vivek may play a role in it, but there's other reasons to that. No. Not for everyone else. Mm. It starts at the top. Mm. It starts at the top.
Mm.
Not saying they're wrong. But I'm just saying it starts at the top. Vivek needs to sell. He did it. He did it. Same energy needs to be kept because everything is great right now. They're winning. They've made all the right trades and free agent signings. They've made great draft picks. They've got a great culture with the coach. I need the same flowers from those who had those same outlooks. Like I said, I can do something different because I didn't say that. I can look at it a certain way. But those of you who said it was all Vivek's fault when it was going bad, you must go to wherever you get flowers, present them to the Golden One Center.
Fig and Vine.
Fig and Vine. Mm-hmm. Go to Fig and Vine. present them at the door of the Golden One Center and say, here, Vivek, here are your flowers because you're doing everything right right now.
You want them to kiss the ring while they're there, too?
I don't think he wears rings.
I don't think he does either. No. He doesn't strike me as a jewelry type. No. He wouldn't freak out if he left his necklace at home like I did.
No. He wears Jordans, though.
He does wear Jordans. Yeah. He does wear Jordans. Okay. You're not wrong. As a matter of fact, I was looking at something. I don't remember what video it was, but I was trying to respond to some of the comments on the ESPN 1320 YouTube page. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it was one of the videos with James or maybe it was Brendan. We were talking about something, the direction of the Kings, right? And one of the first remarks was, well, Vivek's not involved anymore. And it's like, all right, okay, like that's cool. It's so funny how what people like to latch on to and believe is 100% true. Mm. We've tried to tell you for a minute that Vivek is not nearly as involved as you think that he is. And, oh, when it was Jaden Ivey and he was the fourth best player in the draft, oh, Vivek wants Keegan Murray. Everybody else wants Jaden Ivey. I have not heard that narrative since the Summer League game was played. How did that die so quickly? It's like, wait a minute, Keegan's good. Oh, he couldn't have been Vivek's guy. Okay, let's just drop this and not mention it again. You read that in the very first article after projections started coming out.
Yeah,
I think it might have been in The Athletic. I can't remember where it was. Well, I don't know. Vivek Ranadive's in the Keegan Murray camp. So, you know, Kangs, you never know where this is going to go.
Keegan Murray camp.
No, ain't nobody said a damn word about that since.
Not nothing.
I ain't even heard one person go, man, Vivek was right. Good thing he didn't listen to basketball people, and we went and got Keegan Murray. No, they just pretended like that narrative wasn't out there. They just pretended like national writers weren't writing that about the Sacramento Kings. It's funny. Oh, the national media. Screw the national media. Unless they have something to say negatively about Vivek, Bang. Then we're going to talk about it.
Bang. Facts. That's all I'm
saying.
That's all I'm saying, right? And look, I can make the argument that since the bubble, Vivek Ranadive has done everything right.
Sure.
He went out.
Starting with firing Vlade Divac.
Fired Vlade Divac. Because
this feels mean, and I'm sorry. I have nothing against Vlade Divac.
Well, it is mean. It's not as mean as Buddy Hield's shot of the day, but it is mean. Buddy Hield's shot of the day is always unwarranted.
Here, I'll say something nice about Buddy Hield. I kind of like his style. He cracked Hunter Patterson's top 10 styles
Buddy
in the NBA.
Dress.
Yeah, like I
got jewel game too.
I saw him on League Fitz with a nice little jacket. Hunter Patterson going to be with us in just a little bit. He wrote about the beam over on The Athletic, so we'll talk to him. But I just wanted to say something nice about Buddy Hield.
Yeah, thank you. Finally.
Off the court.
Thank you.
Still think he's a jackass, but he's got some style.
Yeah, he does have some style. I like Buddy's style.
But to your point.
I mean, we got Vlade, and I agree with James Hamm. If the bubble doesn't happen,
oh, yeah.
Vlade
no
doesn't, and you said it too.
I no doubt.
Forget you, but if the bubble doesn't happen, Vlade doesn't get fired.
No doubt.
But it did happen, mm-hmm. And he saw what happened in the bubble, and he said, we've got to end this right now, or something's got to change, right? The story goes, something's got to change. Everybody wasn't on board. So he's like, all right, well, I got to do what I got to do. And ever since that moment, he's been on point. Whether it's his decisions or it's still his decisions, but his decisions to fall back mm-hmm. and let people do what they need to do. They're all his decisions. And my whole point to all this is you can't say all these moments when the record is flipped the other way, when it's 19-27 and say it's all his fault. And then when things are going bad, completely not say anything. Like you just said about the whole thing. Not say nothing.
Yeah.
Just, everybody is just doing a great job. Monty McNair, Mike Brown, executive of the year, everything's doing great. Excuse me. This is the guy that is at the top. So I'm going to
get it. It can't only start at the top when it's bad.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, starts at the top. All right, right, cool. Give me, hey, it just, I think your overlying point is just keep the same energy.
Just keep, that's all I'm saying.
We say that pretty regularly on the show. Hey, keep the same energy.
This is a wild visual. Even you know, that's my boy, Uncle V. That's my boy.
We know.
This is a wild visual right here from Gilbert.
Okay.
Uncle V going to be holding that trophy soon. Can you imagine that? Uncle V at center court of whatever NBA arena.
With the three-point championship trophy? I could see that. All-star game MVP? I could see that, absolutely. Coach of the year?
Opens the Louis Vuitton case.
Oh, boy.
Gets that.
Borrowed from NBA. Kenny's house.
Uncle V with the NBA Finals Larry O'Brien joint. That's a wild visual.
Can you imagine Vivek doing the post-championship owner's interview? Oh, man. I honestly don't think Vivek even like. I don't think he'd do it. No. Mike, you do it. Monty, you do it. I don't think Vlade, as much as Vlade hasn't spoken like
Vivek,
sorry, on the record in how long?
It's been a minute. He this summer, he did those. That podcast, that was the first time I really heard Vivek.
What podcast was it?
I think it was like it was Iguodala and. Turner's.
Yeah.
Podcast.
That's right.
But to your point,
yeah,
that's the first time we had heard from Vivek in that in a story or on an interview. It felt like in years, in years. So yeah, he's falling.
He ain't even at the front of the like. Everybody is like dying to know about the beam. Like, whose idea was it? Like, where did it come from? And Hunter wrote about that. Yeah. We'll talk to Hunter in a little bit. Vivek ain't out there talking about, I created the beam. Like, no, he ain't doing none of that stuff. Vivek, I brought the city together with a purple light. He's not doing none of that stuff.
My mom, we were at the game on Monday. My mom goes, oh, wait. Oh, they're about to light the beam. Where Vivek, is he going to light the beam? He hadn't even done that. Vivek watches the game and bolts out of there. After wins, everything. Like, he low-key. You talk about
James Vivek. Used to say he disappears.
Yeah, he does.
Like, you'll be talking. It'll be like, Vivek, James, Mark Jones. James will turn to talk to Mark Jones and then turn back and Vivek is gone. Like me at a party. Just, you have no idea. Just gone. No idea where he went. Didn't say goodbye to anybody. Just left. Kind of like that meeting we were in yesterday.
That was hilarious.
Kenny and I were in a meeting with a lot of substance, but we're just kind of like standing, and then the two higher ups just turned and walked away from us and kept talking, and it was like, well, I guess the meeting's over. We can leave now.
Impromptu meeting at that.
Completely impromptu meeting.
You guys talk about Vivek holding the Larry O'Brien trophy up. You know, he going to be like, if I was Vivek, I'd be like, what was my man's name? Connor Cook. Remember? Michigan State quarterback.
I don't know who Connor Cook is.
You remember when he won, like, the Big Ten championship? You're going to have to look this up. God,
and he dissed that one guy. Who did he diss?
He grabbed it.
Oh, no.
You got this.
Oh, no. I've
got
to see
this. Jerk. This jerk, Connor Cook.
Connor. Hold on. I got to see this.
Yeah, I think someone went in to shake his hand. He just grabs the trophy and just turns away.
It was crazy. That's how Vivek, for all you guys who know, and you guys can take a look at it. For all you guys who know, Vivek definitely going to grab that Larry O'Brien.
It was Archie Griffin. Oh, my God. Where's Connor? Here's Connor. Oh, he just, Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. He just snatched it. Bro, do you know Archie's a legend? What are you doing? Oh, I got to see this again. I think we could put this on the stream and not get in trouble. This is incredible.
Screen, sorry for the radio audience, man. You guys can check this out.
He doesn't shake his hand or nothing.
This is exactly how Vivek is going to snatch that Larry O'Brien trophy from Adam Silver.
Man, Connor Cook, kind of a sucker.
Oh, big time.
Wow.
Big time. And the Raiders drafted him. They're like, this is the guy we want us to lead us.
Goodness.
He's the quarterback of the future.
Over under says Vivek is the hero we needed, not the one we deserved. We needed him. Yes, indeed. That's a good one. We'll come back. We'll talk more Kings basketball. We'll talk more NBA basketball. Lots of notes from around the league today, many of which have direct ties to the Sacramento Kings. Plus, as we mentioned, Joe Davidson coming up. Hunter Patterson coming up. Eric Crocker coming up.
Crocky.
James Hamm coming up here.
Oh, my God.
Sacramento Sports Leader. It's game day, baby. Stilo and KC on ESPN 1320.
D'Lo and KC continues, streaming live on the Odyssey app.
Cliffhanger on YouTube.com/ESPN1320, Twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Got to find out what recipe I'm making this weekend during the next commercial break. Bring everybody in. We were talking about social media and the true value that social networking has and social media has. Yeah. I don't quite know how we got there, but that's what
it was
we were
random.
Doing. It probably was. We were we were watching the Connor Cook video, which was on Twitter.
That's right.
But we started on YouTube, then we got into
what's better, YouTube or Twitter. That's how we got there. Yeah.
When major events happen, there's nothing like being on Twitter. Mm-mm. I mean, some of them can be tragic. Michael Jackson, Kobe Bryant, those are days where it feels like you can't get off of Twitter. Mm-hmm. And then there are days where it can be just silly.
A blast.
Yeah.
An absolute blast.
The Oscars.
Oh, man.
People trying to figure out what the hell just happened.
Yeah.
And I remember when that happened. Of course, the first thing I did was go to social media trying to figure out, did I see that right? And funny enough, I think the first tweet I saw, I actually think it was Deuce, and it said, was that real? And then it was just a sequence of, was that real? Was that real?
Yeah,
it was real.
Keep my wife's
name out your effing mouth.
That was nuts. It's an all-time moment. I think we always do this study once every 6 months, but let's do it again. What's the biggest sports moment you think that wasn't on Twitter that would be going crazy? I know
that was not on Twitter.
Like, it was before Twitter age. I know a lot of people talk about OJ, but that's already been done. That's not even a game. So.
Oh, I'm yeah. OJ like, in the social media. Yeah. OJ in social media would have been nuts. One.
But
yeah.
Like, what game would be? You know what would be crazy?
81?
Huh?
That was like MySpace, Facebook. Was Twitter around for 81?
2000. That was 17 years ago, a couple days ago. MySpace. Yeah, I don't think Twitter was around. I don't think so.
I had a show on KSFM in the morning, so I don't. Yeah, that definitely wasn't
oh,
Twitter.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, the guys in the chat.
Malice at the Palace.
My lord.
Yeah, that would have been.
That would have been.
What would? Okay. I have to ask.
Uh-oh.
What would King's Twitter have been like during the Western Conference Finals? From like, think of the range of emotions that went on with Ori,
yeah,
Mike, officiating, and then Game 7.
It would have
like
been.
What would Tim Maxwell? What would Baby Giraffe? What would Baby Giraffe have been like?
You know, and it would have been even crazier than we think because we wouldn't have been jaded by what we've just gone through for 15, 16 years. Like, we would have really believed wholeheartedly the time is now.
Well,
you know how people right now, I was listening to the Kings beat on the way in, and, you know, those are my guys, but there's still a level of they could blow this thing, guys. Right.
Yeah.
Where they don't say about the Pelicans or the Clippers or the Mavericks. They don't say that about the teams that are right around them. But the Kings,
because they've lived through it.
They can blow this thing, guys. Yeah. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's that level. There's always that level of the other shoe falling. Right. I don't think they had that in 02. Well, they were like, no, it's happening. You can't tell us it's not happening right now. And all those it would be. Even more nuts than we think.
Well, think of all that we've gone through, right, since 2006 or 2007, right, when things went bad and the Eric Musselman hiring. It was essentially us. It's Kings fans. Yeah. It was just us.
That's a good point.
In the Western Conference Finals, it would have been everybody.
Yeah.
It would have been Bill Simmons
yeah.
and Josiah and every Kings media person or every NBA media mm-hmm. person that we know now. It would have been Michael Wilbon. Mm-hmm. It would have been Rich Eisen. Like, it would yeah. have been everybody
yeah.
tweeting about the Sacramento Kings over that stretch of games in yeah. that series.
Yeah. That adds a whole nother level to it. You're 100% right. That's still, and I don't even think I'm being biased, that's still the greatest series I've ever seen, all things considered, pound for pound.
Yeah, it's up
when
there.
You talk about the closeness of the games, the intensity of the games, the where those teams were. Those were the two best teams in basketball.
Knicks Bulls got to be up there in 92
was crazy.
Was that the Charles Smith series?
Yep. No, not that was 93.
That was 93.
They that was a 6-game series.
Game 7
7
game series.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cuz they won game 5 at the Garden. That was the Charles yeah. Smith game and then game 6.
And they blew okay. them out. But I think I mean and then you have real heat, you know, between Lakers Kings.
Phil, like, Shaq,
was,
yeah.
It was real heat there.
Cowtown.
That was the best series I've ever seen. The only one that, in my opinion, like off the top of my head, that compares is 2016 Warriors Cavs. There was everything in that one. There was everything in that series. Mm-hmm. That is one of the best series I've ever seen. But 2002 Western Conference Finals is just as great.
There's some good suggestions here in the Chatty House on Twitch and YouTube. I know a couple of people have Randy Lilly, Black Twitter would have went crazy over Tyson Holyfield. I think all of Twitter would have gone crazy over Tyson Holyfield.
Oh man, well hell, Tyson Buster Douglas.
Oh, Tyson Buster Douglas, yeah.
Oh,
what would have done? I think the Holyfield ear bite would have gotten more pop than the just because it was so, just because of the bite. The aftermath, everything mm-hmm. that went on in those moments with Mike shoving, mm-hmm. you know, officers and how you were wondering what exactly was about to transpire.
Yeah. And on top of that, I think there probably would have been more eyes on Holyfield Tyson too, because Tyson had lost the Holyfield. Everyone
that was Tyson too, wasn't it?
No, that's what I'm saying.
Oh.
More eyes on Holyfield Tyson too than Tyson Buster Douglas.
Oh, gotcha.
Were
yeah,
like,
yeah,
yo, this,
yeah,
that's another yeah. scrub. Matter of fact, that was the fight that was supposed to be before Tyson Holyfield won. And it was like, he's going to run through this guy. You know, it's on HBO. It's in Japan. Nobody really tripping.
Yeah.
But everybody would have been like, yo.
Well, that could have been
Tyson
the one.
Get back.
That could have been the one that drew people to the TV.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I remember, I'll never forget. How old was I at the time? 10 had to go get ready for bed. Thought I missed the fight. Came over to went right next door to my grandpa's house. I was like, "Is it over?" He was like, "No, it's in the fourth round." It's not over. No, it's in the fourth round. And sat down there and watched history happen.
Imagine that though, like boxing being one of the biggest moments in the sports world. Like that's outside of Mayweather Pacquiao. You don't get that anymore. You know the one that I was thinking about, and this isn't a game.
Connor and Floyd was pretty big
Connor
on social.
Connor Floyd was huge.
Yeah, it was pretty big
that
on
was
social.
Huge, and I didn't think it would be as big as it was, but that was huge. That was a big sporting event. The one that I like, if memory serves me correct, it feels like it came completely out of nowhere. Did somebody just open the door?
Nope. No.
It's in Jesse.
Just to
it's in Jesse's. No, it's tripping me out because it looks like behind me or James's computer was on. And I said, somebody just walked out of here. What the?
I apologize. pay no attention to the man.
It bugged me out. But this one, if memory serves me correct, it came completely out of nowhere. And that's Michael Jordan retiring.
Oh, the original one. Yeah.
I woke up that morning and it was on the Today Show.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan is going to retire.
Yeah. Well, okay. Now Magic.
Oh, well, yeah.
Think of how big that was without social media.
Yeah.
What would November 7th, 1991 have been like? What would the days leading into November 7th have looked like? Because I've learned stuff in recent years that I didn't know at the time.
Didn't you tell me there was one person that knew?
There was some, the story was broken. Yeah, like I had always been confused by Magic's wording at the press conference about due to the HIV virus I have attained, I will have to retire from the Lakers immediately. Mm-hmm. And I always, who the hell knew you had HIV? Mm. It's like he just matter-of-factly broke the story, right. But there had been rumblings out there that he was sick. And then I don't remember if it was on Magic show or the Lakers show, mm-hmm. but one of them, it was the first time I heard, it's the first time I had ever heard that a radio show host in LA found out and called Magic's agent, mm-hmm. and said, I have on strong sources that Magic Johnson has HIV. Mm-hmm. And he said, his agent said, please don't run with this. I promise you, I give you my word, I will call you back. Mm-hmm. Please don't run with this. I will call you back immediately. Mm-hmm. Hangs up the phone. Dude goes on the radio and breaks the story.
That's grimy.
He broke the story. And that, like, they had a press conference scheduled, I don't think it was for November 7th. I think it was for November 8th. Uh-huh. But they had to, because the story had broken in Los Angeles, they had to move it up. I had never, 1991, I didn't know that part of the story until like a year ago.
I searched, so you told me about it.
I scoured the internet trying to find if that audio existed mm-hmm. of the dude breaking the story, and I couldn't find it.
He did that dirty move, and it's not even...
I don't know who he is. Yeah, I have no idea.
Like, it'd be one thing. I'm not saying it's justified, but if you went down in lore because of that, like, I can understand somebody saying, yo, this is going to be the biggest thing that ever happened. This is going to take my career. I'm going to be the Howard Stern. Like, man, I just got to do it. I know it's grimy. Nobody even knows.
Yeah.
And you did something like that. That's so grimy. Real quick, the other thing about that is, in hearing you talk about that and Magic address it, if that hadn't happened, he could have just retired, right? Like, he could have just, you know how things get covered up. Mm. Like, if the guy hadn't have said that and put that out there, he could have just retired and gone through whatever he was going to go through behind closed doors.
He could have, but clearly he took it as a... I think regardless of the news breaking, he took it as
an opportunity to teach.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's why we love Magic, to be honest with you, because he didn't hide. You know what I mean?
Magic's going to outlive me.
He is.
I remember I was Michael Scott when I was 11 years old. My grandma told me, hey, he's HIV positive. And I heard the word positive. Oh, that's cool. Like, what does that mean? I don't understand. Mm-hmm. And my grandma and all of her tactfulness, it means he's going to die. Mm. Oh. Like, now? He's dying right now? And my grandma's like, yeah. Oh. Mm. Joke's on you, Grandma. Magic's still alive.
Magic might be gone. And look, here's an airtime moment. I knew what he meant with Michael Jordan. He's like, he was leaving when I needed him the most. The man's got HIV, Michael. Settle down. Settle down.
Selfish ass Michael Jordan. Worried about Magic Johnson. Leaving him. Worried about his own career. Ugh. Yeah, he was leaving when I needed him the most. That's funny. Who was, like, he says, I was sure.
I called the guys that were close to
Magic,
me.
Larry. I think he said Isaiah.
He said Mike.
But I don't. He definitely mm-hmm. said Mike. I don't think he called them. Because, again, that's what I always remember. I think his agent did. And I understand. I'm not criticizing Magic for that. I feel like he called a couple of guys and his agent called the other guys.
His agent called Clyde Drexler.
That is such a jarring press conference to go back and see, with David Stern just white as a ghost, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar just blank.
Being in this position now in my life, I could not imagine like being in this position at that time.
Oh my God.
I wouldn't have no words for 4 hours.
No.
I couldn't imagine something like that. That's crazy. That is crazy. I was about to say something else. Oh yeah, well no.
Well, so 91 would have been that would have been like Kobe. That would have had strong that would have had strong a similar reaction on social media.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.